Hi, this is Chris Peterson, host of the Penny Forward podcast. Thank you to those of you who have donated to the Penny Forward tip jar since we rolled it out a few weeks ago. You can find the Penny Forward tip jar at pennyforward.com by clicking on any of the 22 episode links on the front page. A small donation helps Penny Forward to provide accessible financial education to the blind community now and in the future. The Penny Forward podcast is produced solely by blind-owned businesses, including Taylor's Accessibility Services. Find her website at tayloraccess.com. That's TAYLORACCESS.com.
Welcome to the Penny Forward podcast. Penny Forward is a community of people who are blind, their families and friends who share an interest in financial independence. Visit pennyforward.com to learn more about who we are and what we do. Join us now as we get to know people like us who are working toward their own success. Here is your host, Chris Peterson.
It's pretty common for people to develop an interest in money after they have a bad experience with it somehow. And my guest today is Kayla Allen, and I think she kind of falls into that category. She has been married for 15 years. She's a mother of two kids, and she works for Future Insight, which was a job that she got as a direct result of her volunteer work with ACB Crafters. And I hope that she talks about that a little bit, but I really think that you're going to find her story to be interesting. Kayla, thanks for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking me to be here.
Where do we begin?
Well, I guess I should start at the beginning. My husband and I got married about 15 years ago. And at that point, we both worked. I worked full time. He was a part-time student and he worked part-time. After we got married, we had a daughter and she was super awesome. She still is. And since me and my husband were working, we both had jobs and we were working. Before we had our daughter, we kind of had more of a disposable income because back then, 15 years ago, rent and everything was a lot cheaper than it is these days. And so we kind of were in this mindset that we could buy whatever we wanted, you know, whenever we wanted to. And we were young, we were in our early 20s, and saving and putting money like into retirements and things like that were not things that were even on our radar. Things we even thought about were just like, oh, we'll forever have jobs. We can do this. I had my daughter. Everything was good. I was really blessed at the job I had then. I got to bring my daughter to work with me for the first 6 months. And then she was put into an at-home daycare that we paid. And then when I got pregnant with my son, things changed a lot. So my daughter was about 2.5 when I got put on bed rest with my son. So she was still in diapers, very young toddler. I couldn't pick her up or anything because of restrictions. But the hardest thing was I went to work on Friday and I got put on bed rest on Sunday. And my boss brought me my entire desk on Monday. So I basically lost my job. And like I said, my husband was a part-time student and he worked part-time and I was the breadwinner. Wow. And so this was devastating to us. Oh my gosh, it was so hard.
So there were no protections for you for, you know, like now there's family medical leave and stuff that you can take advantage of. Your job didn't have any sort of benefits, medical benefits or anything that covered any of this?
No. So I worked for a very small company. I actually was third up in the company. So I was pretty high up, but it was a small company. And just to be treated that way alone was devastating because I could have done most of my job from home. You know, I already had a laptop. It was just their way of, you know, that's it. We're not even going to deal with it. We're not even going to try to help you out. And after 8 years of employment, of me being on call all the time, it was devastating to me, just that part of it. On top of all that, we're in a lease. We have contracts, you know, we had a car loan, you know, we are living month to month because that was normal then. For 20-year-olds, that's what's normal. People do that.
And how long did that last?
I got put on bed rest April 3rd. And then my son was stillborn a month or 6 weeks early. And so that was until June 24th. So during that time, my husband's entire paycheck went to rent, because you can't put rent on a credit card, really. Everything else, all our food, diapers, essentials, all went on a credit card. And I guess good thing, bad thing, we had good credit at the time, so they kept giving us more. So, and we were just paying our minimum payments because that's all we could do. And sometimes I'd use one credit card to pay another credit card. So it was not a good situation. So I learned how to clip coupons, like digital coupons on my phone. We got rid of cable. Anything that was not necessary, we got rid of. We sold so much of our possessions just to keep afloat. And at the time, that was devastating. Also, just like having to get rid of all these things that we had. Now I'm like, I don't know why we need so much stuff. So that's kind of shifted a little now. So,
did you have family support at all?
So we did. In some ways we did, but not to pay our bills. I think that if we were about to be evicted, we would probably have been able to get help. The biggest thing was I was so embarrassed. I didn't even want to ask for help. Like, I don't know if anyone really knew the struggle because I was embarrassed. I didn't even want to talk about it. Like, because I felt like it was something we did to ourselves, which in a way we did, because we should have been saving. We should have been putting money aside. We didn't need new TVs. You know, our old ones were still good, but they come out with bigger and better ones. So iPads just came out, tablets, like all this brand new technology was coming out. My husband loves technology. So a lot of prior to this, a lot of our money was spent on technology. And he'll say that was one of his biggest mistakes, was that is trying to keep up with his friends and having the newest phone and things like that.
Was he still going to school while this was going on, or did he have to quit school?
He had to drop out of school. He was in his third semester of nursing school and dropped out so he could go to work full time and support us. That also was another thing that's not cheap. You don't get your money back. So we are still paying student loans. That is one of our debts. And he has no degree, because once he left and went and got a job and was working full time, there wasn't ever a way really to go back to school. He ended up changing jobs, though, and getting a little bit better paying job than he was getting, and like a $4 raise just by switching professions at the time. So that helped out, but that didn't make up for my income as well.
We'll get back to our interview in just a moment, but first...
When it comes to money, do you feel a little lost? When you're in an unfamiliar financial environment and need a hand in understanding the lay of the land, Penny Forward is here to help. We provide affordable one-on-one and group financial education programs that give you the confidence to get out there and achieve your goals. Visit pennyforward.com to learn more about who we are and what we do.
Do you have a short success story that you would like to share on the air? Leave us a message at 952-856-0313. If you missed that number, you can always find it at pennyforward.com/podcast.
What did he end up doing for a job after three semesters of nursing school?
He was an overnight manager of a Quick Trip, which is a gas station. So he worked from 7:30 at night until, like, I think he got off at like 4 in the morning or something like that. So, and we had a toddler, so she was getting up early and he was trying to sleep. So that was hard. That was really hard, because once my son was born, I did go on disability for the first time in my life, which that was hard for me because I always had a job. Sometimes I had two or three jobs. I liked staying busy. So once I got put on bed rest, we didn't have any choice. So we had to figure it out. You know, we did some things right and some things wrong. And that's the way you learn, is by doing things wrong and doing it different the next time. And so once Jonah was born, he was still working overnights. And so I had a baby with colic that was up all night, and then a toddler that was getting up in the morning. So I was not sleeping at all ever for until he switched jobs, pretty much. I didn't sleep because he wasn't there at night and he slept during the day. And so that was really hard. That was hard on our family and our marriage too, because we didn't have time together. We didn't have date nights. We didn't, whatever we did was because it had to be done. Like his days off, we spent grocery shopping because I couldn't go grocery shopping. A newborn and a toddler on my own and not being able to see, and car seats in and out of transportation and groceries, that just, I'm like, I can't do that. So his days off were spent running errands and getting things done that we had to get done outside the house for the most part. After that, we were living in an apartment then. We ended up racking up like $20,000 in debt during this time. And this was the miracle part. During that, we were in the process of buying a house. How we got our house, I really don't even understand, other than I was still paying everything on time at that point. So our credit was still good. We ended up getting a first-time home buyers, like, so the restrictions and qualifications were, I guess, pretty lax at that time. The housing market in Arizona was at its lowest because it was in 2011. It like had hit rock bottom. So they were just trying to give houses away at that point, which is complete opposite of today. And that was hard because we went through the whole process. Our house was supposed to close in February. Our lease was up in March. So I gave notice in February because we had to give 30 days notice. Our house did not close on time, and they had already rented our apartment to someone else. So we had to move out. We moved in with my mom for a few weeks. Our house ended up closing on April 28th. So almost 2 months later, our house closed. And so we had to pack up all our stuff and put it in a U-Haul. And I could not find a storage unit that was empty. So it lived in a U-Haul all of that time. So we had to pay for the U-Haul all of that time. Luckily, my mom did not charge us rent. So it was like 2 days before our house was supposed to close. And the guy's like, oh, it's actually $1,000 more for closing costs than I originally told you. And I don't know if you know, but you can't just have someone give you money. They have to prove where you got the money from. And that money doesn't have to be given back, that it's a gift. So my dad had already bought us, because the house had no oven or fridge or washer and dryer. So my dad bought that stuff for us, and we were going to pay him back for it. So because the loan, the house loan wouldn't close unless the house was livable. And it is not livable if you do not have a stove and a refrigerator. So we had to get that, those items, get them in the house, have them come out and reassess it with those items in the house. So if this guy decided not to sell us our house, our appliances are in that house. So we were playing a game of roulette, just hoping that this guy did not change his mind on us. We had to come up with $1,000. And my husband's best friend just got his student loan money. So I called him up. I will say I did cry. And he lent us the money. And since he's not family, he had to write a letter saying that we did not have to pay him the money back, and have it notarized, bring that and our marriage license that he signed to prove that he is not some just random guy we found on the side of the street, that we actually know him and have some sort of connection with him. And they finally accepted the extra $1,000 and our house was able to close. So that was, I never want to move again. That was like one of the worst experiences of my life. So now we have this $20,000 in debt that we had, plus another $5,000 from our U-Haul. So, oh my gosh, it was stressful. It was so stressful. And it was super stressful for me, but it was extremely stressful for my husband, who is now the sole income. And he was responsible for paying all of this. And that really affected his self-esteem. Like, he felt like he wasn't worthy. And that, you know, so that caused him a lot of depression and anxiety. And because it was just so much pressure on him to pay all our bills, pay all our back bills. And just, yeah, so that was really hard. And I won't say we really fought about money, but it was definitely a stressor in our relationship. Like I said, I started doing the coupons. We never got cable again. We kept doing things just to keep the electric bill down, keeping our house at 80, which isn't that bad. But when it's 120 out, 80 still seems hot. So just doing things like that to reduce our bills, we did get to the point where we couldn't afford it. Like, we can't, you know, there's no more places to shovel money around to pay things. So I started reading up on stuff, and we went into a debt management program with Care One. And so I called them up and I talked to them, and they told me kind of what they did. I had them help us get started to kind of figure out and renegotiate our credit cards and stuff. And I kept with that program for 6 months. And by then I kind of figured out how it worked, and I quit that program. I unenrolled us from that, and I just paid the bills on my own the way they were, because it gave me an idea of how they were paying them off quicker. But now I'm not paying the $50 a month fee for them to do it for me. So I kind of tricked the system there. But at the time, I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew we needed help. So I did go with that. My husband ended up getting a new job that was better paying and was during the day. So he started working for PayPal, and he's been there almost 10 years now. In August, it'll be 10 years that he's worked for PayPal. And that's really when our life started changing and getting better, is when he got this new job, because he was no longer working overnights. We were able to, you know, we sat down, we made a budget. This is how much we have to pay. These are our have to's. That's the way we put everything. These are our have to's and these are our wants. And we broke down everything. We'd go through our bank statement, and I would write down, okay, these are the things we have to pay. This is how much it is. You get paid twice a month. These bills will be paid with this paycheck. These bills will be paid with this paycheck. So as soon as his paycheck hit the bank account, I went ahead and I'd pay those bills. And that's kind of how we started getting out of debt. Our credit scores did go way down, because instead of paying the minimum, all of our credit cards, I started paying as much as I could on my higher interest credit cards and the ones with the lowest balance, just to get rid of them. And then, so we did have some things go into collections, but I figured that would be better than filing bankruptcy or something like that. It's much easier to recover from something being in collections rather than a bankruptcy following you for pretty much your entire life.
We'll continue our interview in a moment. But first,
I recently talked with an older lady who asked me how she could establish credit for herself. Her husband had passed away, and he never had any interest in establishing credit for himself. But she wondered if she could establish credit, even at an advanced age, as a way of weathering hard times and rare emergencies. The answer is yes. At any age, you can establish a credit history either with the help of somebody else or by yourself. I'm going to give you 4 quick and easy ways that you could establish credit, and you can use a combination of any of these to help build a credit history no matter how old you are. First, become an authorized user on someone else's credit card. Someone who you trust and who trusts you can make you an authorized user on their credit card. This could be a friend or family member. Be trustworthy to them. Make sure to pay back anything that you borrow using their credit card. But also make sure that you trust them, because their credit history will become your credit history. So if they have bad credit habits, you may not want them to make you an authorized user on their credit card. A similar approach would be to have someone become a co-signer on a loan that you take out. I did this when I established credit. My parents became a co-signer on a loan that I took out to buy my first laptop computer back in 1996. A co-signer is someone who's responsible for paying back the loan if you're not able to. So it's important to make sure that you make every payment on time and be the trustworthy person in this relationship. Two ways that you can establish a credit history by yourself are by asking a credit union for a credit building loan. The way this works is they ask you to make a down payment of a few $100s, which they put in into account, and you pay back a loan in that amount over time so that you can record a history of on-time payments on your credit report. Secondly, you can take out a secured credit card. This is similar to the previous approach in that you need to make a down payment of a few $100s, and you are given a credit card with a very small credit limit, which you can use to establish a credit history. Starting out with a very small credit limit is a good way to go because it means that you don't risk getting so far out of control that you can't pay back the money that you borrow. Again, a combination of all four of these approaches can be used by anyone at any age to establish a credit history when you don't have one at all. This isn't an easy thing to do. Sometimes people will say no when you ask them for help, and not every credit union is going to be willing to offer you a credit building loan. Still, if you are persistent, anyone at any age can use these techniques to build a credit history.
Do you have a favorite budgeting, banking, or investing app? Tell us about it at 952-856-0313. If you missed that number, you can always find it at pennyforward.com/podcast.
At what point was it that you could tell that it was starting to work?
The first time we paid off a credit card, we celebrated like we didn't go buy anything, but we definitely had a woohoo moment. That was the biggest thing. Like, once we paid off the first thing completely and shut the account, so we weren't tempted to use it again. We took it away. And that really gave us the motivation to keep going, that feeling of relief. Like, oh my gosh, we did it. We got one gone. And then, oh my gosh, we have two gone. I sat down and I made a spreadsheet of what I was going to pay when and how much to each card. And I had everything online so I can go and I can check it and keep an eye on it and watch it. Each time I made a payment, I would watch it go down, and then I could go in my spreadsheet and I could lower that number. So keeping up on that really helped, because it was, you know, every time, even if it was just, oh, that balance went down 10, 20 bucks, that's $10 or $20 that I got to subtract from the amount of our debt, because I had it all tallied up, like it totaled, like you have $24,000 in debt. That didn't include our house payment or student loans. So those are ones we're still working on, but they're the larger ones. So it took us 3 years to pay it all off. So it took a long time, but it was a lot of money, and we still had bills we were paying. So I wish it took way less, but it was about 3 years from when I started the debt management. And then by the time we had zero. And the debt management plan they had us on, it was going to be 6 years. So I cut that in half from what they would have done. So that was pretty exciting for me to do.
In retrospect, was the debt management program worth it to you, though?
For us, yes. Once I had the time, I knew that something was being done. I was so stressed to even research it and think about it. It was overwhelming at the time. So I feel like, yeah, it was only because it gave me some guidance. It freed up my mind enough that I didn't have to stress about it, that I was able to put in effort to fixing it. And rather than, oh my gosh, I'm just so overwhelmed with this, I don't even know how to start. So it did give us that starting point.
So before all this started, you were kind of living like lots of people in their 20s do, you know, spending it as soon as you get it kind of a thing. I know I was. What is life like for you now?
I could pay all my bills for 2 months right now. What's in my main account? That's not even counting my savings account. We do carry a car loan, but it has a 0% interest on it. And then we have our house loan, which is a quarter of the value of our house because we overpay every month. So that is awesome to me that I owe a quarter of the value of my house on my house right now.
Awesome.
So, yep.
What else? Do you have a savings or are you investing in retirement?
Yeah. So we have a savings account that we have money automatically transferred into every month. My husband has a 401k, which is super cool. And a percentage of his paycheck goes towards buying stock in PayPal. And then he gets to purchase stock with that money. They automatically just purchase stock with that money in PayPal. And then a lot of our stuff is in stocks. We have a lot in stocks, right? As of now, he's been there 10 years. So that alone, just we know that now if something happened, if we were in that same situation that like if I couldn't work or he couldn't work, we know that we could survive 6 months without having income come in. Someday it'll be a year and then more and more.
That's amazing. And you're back to work. When did you start going back to work?
I started in April. And I'm really enjoying it and it's part time. They're very flexible with me. That was one of the big things I needed was flexibility because I had when I started, my kids were doing online schooling here at the house still. And so I really like it though. I really like what I'm doing. I get to teach crafts and get paid for it. So I cannot complain.
That's such a great story. I appreciate you sharing it with us. And I wonder if you have any advice for someone, you know, think back to you when you're 20 years old and had advice to offer to that version of Kayla, what would it be?
It would definitely be put that extra, even if it's an extra dollar, into a savings account for later. Nowadays, our lifestyle from when we got married and now is completely different. We hardly go out to eat. We cook almost every meal at home. So that in itself is huge because we used to go out to dinner with friends and stuff like that. And now we just have them over and I'll cook dinner or we'll have them do a dish and I'll do a dish. And I can cook a meal for 8-10 people for less than it is for us to go out to dinner for the most part. So that just not going out to eat was huge. That was one of the first things we stopped doing when I got put on bed rest and my income was gone was we no longer ate out. We didn't have cable. We just had the necessities.
How's your stress level?
And I was okay with that. Oh my gosh. When it comes to money, no stress at all because I know that it's there. I know that I can open my bank account up and I can pay my bills when they're due. And that alone is just huge. My husband's stress level is way less now too.
And how has that affected your marriage?
It's good. His stress level affecting me is way, that makes it way easier. Instead of talking about how are we going to pay this bill, it's like, what do we want to do to upgrade our house when we have enough money to do this? What do we want to do? Because we'd much rather invest in the house we own than go buy new things. We still do things. Like we still go to California and go to the beach. But instead of putting it on a credit card, we plan ahead and we look for hotel deals or Airbnbs and things like that. We buy gas cards from the grocery store when it's 4x fuel points so that when I use those gas cards, I get more of a discount on it, you know, things like that. And now we only have one credit card that we use and it's because it's an Amazon credit card and I get 5x rewards on Amazon purchases. So since that's primarily how I do my shopping, we do that. And then every time we get paid, we pay that off. So we pay it off twice a month.
We'll continue our interview in a moment, but first...
So, you want to start a podcast, but you're not sure where to start. Here are some tips for creating a successful podcast. Keep your podcast focused. While it might be tempting to create a podcast that's all things to all listeners, successful shows tend to have a narrow, focused topic. 2. Be consistent. If you're going to do a show, do it once a week, twice a week, once a month, but whatever that time frame is, make sure you are consistent. And finally, use music segments to break up the show. However, don't use copyrighted music. Use royalty-free music or music that you have written permission to use. For more tips like this and podcast coaching, check out superblink.org. We're here to help.
Do you have a short success story you want to share on the air? Leave us a message at 952-856-0313. If you missed that number, you can always find us at pennyforward.com/podcast.
Let's talk about your kids real quick. How did this impact them, if at all, and how are you raising them differently now that you've gone through this?
I want to say that it didn't impact them too negatively because they were so young and didn't really understand money and stuff like that, but... I want to say that, but I know it's wrong because I know the stress in the house alone affects them, whether they know that it's because of money or not. I know that just having that in the house affects everybody who lives there. But the main thing that it's taught me is how to manage my money and how to teach my kids how to do that. And that it's important to do that. To teach them how to save and talk to them about their money. And growing up, my mom owned her own company. So I was used to earning my money for what I wanted. And it was kind of encouraged, hey, you should probably put some away, but it wasn't really enforced. So now the kids each have their own savings accounts that we opened for them when they were born. That's one thing that we did for them is hopefully they'll have some money for college and stuff like that so that they don't have the student loan debt like my husband incurred. Teaching them the difference between needs and wants, that's huge. I think that's really hard for people to distinguish because they want it. They feel like they need it. And so teaching them the difference, like, yes, you need food. You don't need a pair of shoes if you already have 3 pairs of tennis shoes. You really don't need another pair of tennis shoes. That's more of a want, even though tennis shoes could be a need. So distinguishing things like that. They each get an allowance every week, and they get to choose what they do with it. If they want a larger item, they have to save up. We kind of let them decide what they want to do with it. We encourage them to save it. But I also want them to have the feeling where, man, I spent my money on this, but I really wanted or needed that. And now I have to wait and get it because I feel like that would teach them a lesson for when they're older. So I try to let them have their own experiences because I feel like me preaching to them is one thing, but them going through it and learning it for themselves is another thing. And that's when it's going to stick is when they feel, man, I really, really wanted that. I shouldn't have bought this week. And that's happened. So a big thing I try to teach them is how about you don't buy that right now. You wait X amount of days, 3 to 5 days. How long did it take you to earn that money? Okay, it took me 5 days to earn that much money. Why don't you wait 5 days and see if you really want that still? And usually, you know, after those 5 days, they don't even remember they wanted whatever it was they were wanting so desperately at that moment. So, and when they do go shopping, they have to cover not just the price of whatever the price tag says, they have to cover their own tax also.
Last question. You said during this time when you got deep into debt, that you were embarrassed to talk about it, to ask for help, and so forth. How do you feel about that now? And what advice would you give to people that are feeling that way, that, you know, that embarrassment that you felt?
I kind of almost feel like everyone, the majority more than don't, are in debt at some point in their life, and hopefully not so bad that they can't survive. But I wish I would have had those conversations with my mom or my dad and just said, hey, you know, we're really struggling. Can we borrow this money from you, or something along those lines? Because they had it that they could have lent it to us. And we probably would have saved a whole lot of money in interest, because even if we paid interest to them, it probably would have been less. But I felt ashamed because I felt like I failed. It ended up not necessarily being something I went out and I did, and I just went on all these vacations and spent all my money and got in debt. It was because I had a health issue and I lost my job and couldn't work. And I had to do what was best for my kiddo. So,
well, again, thank you. I hope that this is a helpful story to someone that's going through something similar, and will give them hope that there is hope. So,
yeah,
again,
there is hope.
Yeah. Again, thank you for being willing to open up and share that with the audience.
Oh, you're welcome.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Penny Forward podcast. Penny Forward is a community of people who are blind, their families and friends who share an interest in financial independence. Visit pennyforward.com to learn more about who we are and what we do. Until next time, from all of us in the Penny Forward community, thanks for listening.